You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Tuesday, May 29th, 2018, and you are listening to the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to it. You can do that on either iTunes or Spotify, and the show will be delivered to your device each morning so you can listen at the time and place of your choosing. And if you really enjoy the show, give it a good review in iTunes. We certainly appreciate it. Hope you had a good long weekend. Of course, Memorial Day weekend is viewed by many people as the unofficial start of the summer. So since we are starting the summer, I wanted to begin on a positive note. So on today's show, I'm going to name you four players on the Jets who really beat my expectations for them when the team first acquired them. And oddly enough, with this team struggles on offense, I think all four of these guys are on offense, which I guess might speak to me just having high expectations, being very optimistic about some of the moves the Jets make on the defensive side of the ball. So let's jump right in. And again, these are guys who have, in some ways, I think, kind of proven me wrong because they've been better than I thought they'd be. So the first guy, I guess, is rather obvious. I'm sure he beat your expectations as well. And that's Robbie Anderson, who has developed into a quality starting receiver, a really good deep threat. One of the guy who last year really kind of came into his own as one of the game's top deep threats, and over the last 2 years, and it kind of came out of nowhere. I'd say over the last 2 years, he's developed. Last year is when he really kind of grew into one of the top deep threats in the league. And it's always a surprise when an undrafted free agent steps up and becomes a good player. And I'll say this is, 2 years ago, there was all this hype around three rookie wide receivers the Jets had in training camp. It was undrafted free agents Anderson and Jalen Marshall and seventh round pick Sherron Peak. And people went a little overboard talking about those three. And I, even at the time, I was saying, the future of this team is not three receivers who were either seventh round picks or undrafted free agents. I think, people needed to calm down a little bit on that. And I remember what I said at the time was, if one of those three guys turns into a good player, you should be very happy, and the Jets will have done very well for themselves. And my guess, when people ask, which of the three did you think would be the most likely to develop? I thought it was Peak, who was a guy who had a few things gone differently, easily could have gone much earlier in the draft than he did. So Anderson was not a guy I really had my eye on. Even after that great preseason he had in 2016, I still wasn't sure what to make of him, because you see guys who have great preseasons all the time who don't really develop into quality NFL players. It's one thing to go beat guys who are not going to be on an NFL roster, guys who are going to be just depth players. It's another to go out there during the actual games. And, late 2016, he started to really emerge, playing in place of Eric Decker. And then 2017, he turned into a quality starter, one of the top deep threats in the league. And it's not out of the realm of possibility he could be even more, where he could maybe he's a guy who can be a primary point of attack. But even if he's not, it's been a very successful pick. And, I feel like there are points where maybe I'm almost a little too hard on Anderson, where I say stuff like, this is just kind of the way I feel, where I say stuff like, well, is he going to be a number one type receiver? And I feel like I've been thinking about this. I'm kind of missing the point if I'm asking questions like that in a way, because again, this was an undrafted rookie. So in fact, you got a good starter, a guy who's a really good deep threat, a guy who has the potential to be one of the top deep threats in the league. That's quite an accomplishment. That's quite a victory for the Jets. So, maybe I should be. I feel like I probably should be a little more optimistic on Anderson than I am at points. So this is my day to state some optimism for Robbie Anderson and talk about how he was a guy who, the Jets didn't know Robbie Anderson would be as good as he is, because the Jets didn't draft him. So I think I'm in good company there. And the rest of the league, again, every team in the league passed on him multiple times. He was an undrafted player. So I guess I'm in pretty good company. But this is a guy who I think by any measure has exceeded expectations. Now, the second guy I'll talk about, we're going to stay at the wide receiver position, and it's Jermaine Kearse. And Kearse was a guy, when the Jets acquired him from Seattle last year, I kind of gave a whatever. I didn't really care. I said he was I called him a JAG, which is JAG, just another guy. I believe Bill Parcells, that was a Parcellsism, a Jag. And I'll say this, I don't think Kearse is a great receiver. I don't think he's necessarily reliable. I'm not sure he's consistent. He doesn't have any wow part of his game, which is probably why I was down on him. But he can produce in a limited role, in a more limited role. You know, you need him for a couple games. He can put up a solid couple weeks. Now, he'll disappear for stretches, and he's a guy who's much better. He was more productive on the inside in the slot than he is on the outside typically. But he's a guy who, in a pinch, you know, if you need him for a couple weeks, can do an effective job as an outside receiver. So I think he's probably a step above where I pegged him. And, you know, salary's not that big. Heading into the offseason, I thought his cap number, $5 million for 2018, was a bit high for his skill set. And then I saw some of the crazy numbers that were given out in free agency by various teams, and suddenly $5 million for a guy like Kearse is not a terrible option. Now, I'd say with Kearse, he's a guy who's, I would guess, is going to be on the team, but he's not necessarily a lock, because it looks like, right now, I think you have to be optimistic. We've talked for months about the question marks surrounding Robbie Anderson, Quincy Enunwa, Anderson off field, and Enunwa recovering from injuries. At this point, you kind of have to feel optimistic about both of them. I think we've seen, and I think Anderson in particular, it seems like his legal situations there's still a few outstanding things, but a lot of it's been resolved in a positive manner for the Jets. And Enunwa, generally speaking, the progress reports have been positive. So that's a good sign for the Jets. Now, what happens with the third receiver? Does Terrell Pryor emerge? Could Chad Hansen emerge? If somebody else emerges, then Kearse may find himself out of a job, because Kearse at $5 million is a good guy to have insurance for. He's a good insurance option in case you have some questions with your top guys. But if your top two receivers are okay and a third guy emerges, $5 million is just not a great value proposition for a number four receiver who doesn't play special teams. So that, we'll keep that in mind, but I like having Kearse around just in case, because there's no guarantee Terrell Pryor is going to find his game at the receiver position. There's no guarantee Chad Hansen's going to break out, and the Jets have a couple other options there. So I like having Kearse in my back pocket if I'm the Jets. Yeah, so I think it's a positive development. Again, a guy I probably sold a little short. Is he a great receiver? No, but he's a good, nice guy. He's a nice option to have, and he's definitely a step above the type of guy you could find off the scrap heap. I'll say that for him. You know, a guy who's pretty solid slot receiver, and a guy who, if you need him for a couple weeks, can help keep your offense afloat. And we saw that points last year. Yes, there were points where he disappeared, but there were also weeks where he was a big part of the passing game and a big part of success the Jets had on offense during some of their better stretches in 2017. BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com, brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, no awkwardness. Well, for you. Jeez. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, there's a special going on. If you visit BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com, get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code LOCKEDON and pay just $5 in shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. Now we'll move to the offensive line, and I'll give you another guy who I think I sold short. And this was a signing I did not like 3 years ago. I have to admit to that. I was not a big fan of the player. I was not a big fan of the money. And that was James Carpenter, who has been the left guard for the Jets. Now, Carpenter, in fairness, is not coming off a great year. His 2017 was not that good. So we'll get that out in the open. The other thing I would say is that it's questionable how good of a fit Carpenter is for the Jets' scheme right now. They're going to be heavy zone blocking, and last year, under John Morton, they also were a team that leaned more towards zone blocking, so I think that may have played into some of the struggles that he had last year. But he gave the Jets 2 good years, 2015, 2016. He was a good fit in the Chan Gailey system. And again, this was just one that I probably sold short. I was not a big fan of him. If you followed his career at all, very inconsistent at best in Seattle, not a very successful first-round pick, a guy who had trouble staying on the field for the Jets. So there was a lot not to love. The Jets gave him decent money. They just didn't pay him like a superstar, but the Jets gave him decent money, decent starting guard money, and I was skeptical. I wasn't sure he could put it together for the Jets. He hadn't really been able to put it together in Seattle. And what he gave the Jets, he gave them a reliable run blocker. He was, you know, he was actually a decent pass protector those first 2 years. Now, again, not a great 2017. How will he be going forward? I don't know. But I think that this has been what I would call the rare success story for the Jets in free agency recently. They've had certainly had their share of misses in free agency, but Carpenter's just been done a solid job. He's stable. He's been, for the most part, now last year again, notwithstanding, he was a stabilizing presence on the on an offensive line his first 2 years with the Jets that was not that stable, that really had some issues with guys moving in and out, consistency of certain players. He was really the most consistent. He was the most consistent guy on that offensive line his first 2 years. So this was one I was a little down on. I thought it was an overpay at the time. I have to admit to that. But Carpenter, it was a move that was really a projection move. You know how we talked last week about whether the Jets were drafting plug and play guys versus guys who were more developmental projections. Carpenter was a guy who had been in the NFL. This was not a Jets draft pick, but the Jets were projecting because essentially what they were doing is they were paying him at a level that was not justified by his past performance. They were projecting that he would be able to, in the future, meet that level of play. And again, 2 out of 3 years, he's done the job. He's done it effectively. So, and I'll tell you, a lot of these free agent deals are based on that. They're based on projections, and a lot of them don't work out. And we've seen that firsthand. The Jets have had their share of projection free agent deals that haven't worked out. But I would say, right now, I would grade the Carpenter signing back in 2015 as a success story. A guy who, again, who's been, and you can never really produce a ton of stats at left guard, so you have to speak in more general terms. Oh my goodness, gonna get made fun of because I can't pronounce that word. You have to speak in more general terms when you're talking about it, and I pretty much just have to go on what I see when I review the film, and I think Carpenter, there's been more good than bad with the Jets. And finally, let's end in the backfield, and I'm going to talk about a guy who I think is pretty popular with this fan base and should be pretty popular with this fan base, and that is Bilal Powell, who is a productive homegrown player for the Jets. And, you know, we talked about Carpenter, the rare free agent success story for the Jets recently. Powell is one of the rare draft success stories for the Jets recently, and he's a guy who has really built himself into a quality player, because when he first came out, his rookie year was essentially a waste of a year. Then he had trouble getting on the field. It always, you know, the thing about Powell is it's always seemed like the Jets have tried to reduce his carries. The Jets have just, and this is not a Mike Maccagnan thing, it's not a Todd Bowles thing, this goes back 3 general managers, 2 head coaches. For whatever reason, the Jets, just as an organization, have never really trusted him to carry a big load. But he's been able to, every time they've called on him, they've gotten success. You know, he's been productive. He finally has started to get more of an opportunity the last couple of years. But even then, the Jets have not been willing to commit to him as kind of the go-to guy out of the backfield. Well, again, all he's done is produce when he's been in the lineup. And they get, you know, and I'll admit to this, I was at that draft. I covered that draft. I was a credentialed reporter back in 2011. And I remember they picked him. I did not like the pick. I didn't like him as a player. They brought him along kind of slowly. He produced a little bit. You know, he got some limited snaps his first few years in the league. He was okay. There's nothing that really popped out about his game to me. And then I finally started to come around the tail end of 2015 when they utilized him as a receiving back late in the season, and the Jets went on that winning streak, and he became a pretty big part of the passing game, and he looked more elusive than he had to me in the past, and maybe I was just selling him short in the past. And the Jets had, back in 2014, they brought in Chris Johnson to reduce his carry. They essentially made Powell a bystander in 2014, a move that really wasn't that great of a decision. 2013, they had brought in Chris Ivory, which was a better decision, but that also reduced Powell's carries. Yeah, he's just been a guy who the Jets have been hesitant to commit to. 2016, they bring in Matt Forte, make Forte the lead back, and that was not a good, that was, again, another poor decision by the Jets. Meanwhile, you know, all these big name backs the Jets bring in, Chris Johnson, Matt Forte, And they have this homegrown guy who's better, you know, who's been more productive at that point of his career than the other guys have been. And this guy is probably a little underappreciated by fans. I'll tell you, he was underappreciated by me for a while. I finally realized my mistake, and that's Bilal Powell. He's a solid Jet and a homegrown success story, a rare recent Jets draft success story. So we begin our summer on a positive note. Thanks for listening today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe to it on either iTunes or Spotify. And if you do enjoy it, give the show a good review in iTunes. Hope you have a great Tuesday. We'll be back again tomorrow.